This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutan with me, Tan Chung Han. And our guest on Pressing Matters today is Sheridan Mayavira. He is a reporter with the Malaysian Insight. Sheridan, of course, was an old colleague of mine. We worked together in 2010. So wonderful to see you here in a medium that he's not comfortable with. You know, because he's brilliant on in print. Let's see how he performs. Not to put any pressure on you, Sheridan.
Too late now, man.
Yeah, that's a bit too late now.
Okay. We were very excited by a piece that you wrote. I mean, we've had all that discussion about Felder, about FGV, about the corporate boardroom, you know, kind of tussles that have been happening. But what you did in a piece that you wrote very recently for the Malaysian Insight was to take us to the ground level. And I'm going to quote from the start of the article because it really tells you something quite substantial about the ground reality. So I'm going to read. Imagine this, you say. You agree to take out a loan from a bank, but it doesn't tell you how much you've taken out or gives you updates on how much you owe and how long it is for the repayment period. You're just told to pay up between 300 and 400 ringgit every month, which is deducted from your paycheck. After paying the bank for about 5 years, you are then told that you owe it 100,000 ringgit. And this is only after you constantly harass the official, the financial institution for details. The seemingly hopeless situation is compounded by the fact that it refuses to tell you how much all those monthly installments have gone towards paying off that debt. I'm going to end that quote there. So that seems to be the dilemma, at least one of the dilemmas of a Felder settler. Sheridan, why did you go out and write this story and what did you find?
So the way that the whole idea started was that we always had been covering the developments in Felder, especially all these scandals that seem to plague FGV and also bleed into Felder for a long time. Ever since, you know, when I was in the Malaysian Insider, and then ever since the Malaysian Insight was re-established. So, but in that time, we haven't had an opportunity or given enough time for our reporters to actually go down to the ground and actually speak to them about how whether or not the problems in FGV were really affecting them, you know, and also the oil palm prices, you know, whether or not it was helping them earn an extra income, you know, and how these developments at the corporate level translated on the ground, and we wanted to find that out. So this trip was in conjunction also with kind of like our political
very plan. Quickly, which part of the country did you go to do the story?
We chose two Felder schemes in Pahang because it was part also of a longer trip where we did a political story in Temerloh.
Now, Sheridan, when you went about, you know, talking to these Felder settlers, did you find a lot of willingness, or, you know, were the people that you spoke to the exception rather than the norm?
The thing about what was interesting about this trip was that it was in conjunction with another reporter who went down to a Felder in Johor at about the same time, and what she discovered was that. Her name was Musliza. She had gone to an UMNO event featuring settlers, you know, whereby UMNO was announcing that they would receive a raya bonus, for instance, you see. And so, you know, the feedback that she got was that it was very positive. Mm. Whereas the feedback that I got from about the 10 or so settlers that we met was mixed.
Okay.
You know, I found that first-generation settlers... there were more first-generation settlers that were reluctant to speak to us. There were actually first-generation settlers that were willing to be open, but second-generation settlers, meaning the children of the settlers who were first given the schemes, yeah, they were very vocal and very open about their worries.
Do you have, can you speculate as to why? We know, of course, that there's a civil society or NGO type organization with the acronym ANA, and that's got to do with the Felder settlers. Is that also reflective of this generational shift, attitudes, a sense of loyalty, or in fact, more importantly, gratitude to the government of the day for what they've gotten?
Yeah, so if we got, if we go back a bit into history, the first generation of settlers were the ones who were landless, and they were basically just given 10 acres of land. Here you go, 10 acres of land that you can work and toil and, you know, and make something out of it. So this was in the 60s and 70s. And it's, yeah, and it's the, and so these settlers, which Muzliza interviewed in Johor, they kind of represent the sentiment from that generation, whereby they had nothing, the government gave them something, and they actually made quite a good life out of it, you know, at a time when oil palm price, while the industry was growing, there wasn't really much competition from others, you know. Felda was very novel at that time. Whereas, like, with second-generation settlers, they see that things have just, you know, for their parents may have done well, but they have seen how the income at that time has declined till now, and now they are seeing, like what I said in the story, you know, they get burdened by all these type of debts that they find mysterious.
So essentially, they're still having to pay 300 to 400 ringgit every month, but they don't know what for, essentially.
Yeah, the way that we approached, yeah, the way that I interviewed them, I kept asking them what's the 300, 400 for, and they said, you know, we ourselves, they themselves, this is the second generation guys, they say, we ourselves go and try and ask Felda what it is for. And they somehow hit a blank wall, for whatever reason, officers in Felda do not want to go into detail as to what this 100,000, 111,000 consists of. Yeah.
What about the question of land ownership? I mean, was there a plan at the start that this land would eventually revert to the settlers themselves? But, you know, because I believe the production system is collective, but do they have individual title? And is that a bone of contention?
As far as I know, the settlers' land is secure, in the sense that they have some partial ownership, and then Felda also has some partial ownership. The holdings themselves will be transferred. At least, like, say, if your dad got about 10 acres, you know, your dad will transfer those 10 acres to the son or the daughter.
But, I mean, do you think it was just, I mean, a lack of awareness of what has transpired in the past, or, in other words, a lack of historical context on the part of the second-generation settlers? Or, again, is it just down to the sheer numbers? They're just seeing these hundreds of ringgit being deducted from their paychecks, and they have no idea why. So, do you think there was a lack of communication between the generations?
I think it's actually a lack of communication between Felda and the second generation, because one, the sentiment that I found that was repeated across all the second generation settlers that I met was that, you know, they Felda just the officers that were in charge were just not telling them and not specifying to them what the loans were for. I mean, I can speculate, because they say that this is for replanting, you know, replanting of the land. But then it's also like, so, you know, the bone of contention is that, you know, we've been paying so much, but you haven't been telling us, you know, how much our installments have gone towards reducing the total loan, and we don't know what the total loan is.
You're listening to Sheridan Mahavira. He is a reporter with the Malaysian Insider. We're talking about a PC road on Felda settlers and their problems. We'll be back on Pressing Matters shortly. We're going to be talking about political sentiment. After all, Felda is seen in many ways as a kind of vote bank for the ruling government. BFM 89.9. Good morning and welcome back to Pressing Matters, the show when we get to the stories behind the headlines. Because one of the major headlines that we've had over the last couple of weeks has been the corporate tug of war at FGV, owned, I think, 34% owned by Felder. I think is the number there. We have as our guest Sheridan Mahavira. He's a reporter with the Malaysian Insight. He wrote a brilliant piece, kind of a ground-level report on how people in Felder are affected by scandals like the one that's unfolding at FGV. So we're kind of looking at those kind of connections. I want to begin with the question of sentiment. We talked a bit about sentiment, the generational shifts. But what about politics? I mean, is there something happening to what has been largely seen as a vote bank for UMNO in particular and Barisan Nasional?
When we went to Felda Gelinga and Felda Jengke in Pahang, I remember one of the guys that we had interviewed, and this guy, his name is Wan Sharil Abdul Jalil. He's the head of the task force for Parti Pribumi Bersatu that handles Felda matters. So he was telling us how, you know, the thing is before 2013, before the 2013 general election, opposition parties, you know, whether it was PKR or even PAS, had always had problems going into and conducting programs in Felda. He told us how earlier this year he had done a program in Jengke 8, and it was a ceramah. It was a ceramah, and it was going to feature Tun Mahathir, the chairman. He couldn't get Tun Mahathir to come down. He got Mukris, which is basically the deputy president of Bersatu. And at the same time, when Felda heard about this, UMNO heard about this, they went across the road a few meters across the road and held a similar program. You know,
simultaneously.
Wow. It was a dinner with a dinner with speeches with what do you call lucky draws? Okay,
Not just your regular ceramah.
It's ceramah plus plus.
Yeah, plus plus.
So the thing is, it's like they had this, you know, and what they were seeing was that what Sharil was telling me was that people would go to the UMNO ceramah and then, you know, eat and then come to their ceramah.
Oh, wow.
You know, they had like almost 2,000 people easily at this ceramah for Bersatu. You know, and this is unheard of. This was unheard of in 2013 or even before then. Okay. So there is a perceptible change in terms of political sentiment that Felda, it may not translate into votes.
Right.
You know, there has to be a caveat there, but there's more of an open-mindedness towards alternative views towards Felda.
Right, and I wonder how much of this is due to the novelty of, you know, Bersatu, right? Because, like you said, so often the thoroughfare that has been on offer at these Felda settlements have been what's coming out of BN and UMNO, right? And also, like you pointed out, when your colleague went to Johor, the sentiment was still positive, right?
So from first generation.
But, you know, Han, I do say that there's also this other way of interpreting that movement, which is that people are strategic, right? Mm. So they're going to get the lucky draw, they're going to get the food at one trauma, but they're not going to miss out perhaps on information they want to get that they're not getting from mainstream press. Mm. They all probably watch TV Tiga out there in Felda land, you know. So maybe that's how to read it. They're actually being strategic as well.
So, I mean, Sheridan, I mean, from your visit over there, how much of it do you think was curiosity versus, an actual or a tangible desire for change or just new information, really?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
Okay, to be fair, to go back to your point when you say that if this is a novelty from Bersatu, actually, it's really not. It's anger towards Felda or a feeling of disquiet among second-generation settlers towards Felda. You know, as you pointed out, Sharad, just now, has been going on for quite a while. It started ANA, which is basically a organisation that is led by a politician from Parti Amanah Negara as well. You know, started in, if I'm not mistaken, 2010 or 2011, and this organisation also started out from basically a groundswell from settlers themselves when they found out that Felda, when they suspected that Felda was cheating them in 2008. There was actually a court case in which the court awarded about 200 over Felda settlers in Kemahang, which is Negeri Sembilan in 2008. And they awarded Felda Settlers they were awarded Felda Settlers after finding that Felda had actually cheated on
payments to them
based on the grade. Yeah, and ever since then, there have been a few suits against Felda.
Right, I understand there's some of the disputes about the quality of the fruit that become part of this thing, right? So your fruit is downgraded, and therefore you get paid less, when in fact the fruit is perhaps of better quality.
Correct. That was what the 208 case hinged on. So when the 208 case hinged on, it created a ripple effect amongst a lot of other settlements. And like you said, you know, these are people who are used to watching TV3. So going back to your question just now, was that it's even though they're getting a lot of the government's version of things, right? They know on the ground they themselves are feeling that something is not right. Mm. So because something is not right, somebody else comes and tells them, yes, you're right, something is not right, you know, come and listen to this. And so it is both driven by curiosity to find out what it is that they feel is not right, and to actually go out and find more information in order to, I think, make better decisions.
And real quick, I think I just did a quick Google search. I saw Felda was ordered to pay 11 million ringgit in damages to 354 Felda settlers, overpayments for palm fruit for 6 years. So this decision was made in 2009.
Just a note also, Sheridan's piece came out on the 14th of June, about 5 days ago. And I'm going to tweet out the link to it, so you can pick it up if you're interested in the story. And you can also interact. Sheridan, are you on Twitter?
No,
he's not.
No,
so because he's like,
you
so,
lucky man. I'm not going to lie.
He's so print and analog. So that's at BFM. He's lucky because of our online portal, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's at BFM Radio. You can tweet him, or you can tweet us, and we can, you know, write it down on pieces of paper with parchment ink, and then send it off to Sheridan. You can also WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. I do want to move on to the question of economic reporting, because one of the big stories coming into this next general election, Sheridan, is the question of cost of living. It's a huge story. And I remember years ago, you did a brilliant series just going out of the Klang Valley and talking to ordinary Malaysians. Is that going to happen? I mean, what do we understand from what's happening on the ground? Before Sheridan, because Han wants to...
No, I just want to piggyback on that. So, you know, as an extension to that question, so, you know, given the disquiet, as you mentioned, over there, is it all filtered through this Felda lens, you know, like we are not getting what we have been promised or deserve? Or, you know, are they also talking about the other, issues that we so often talk about here, be it the 1MDB, GST, etc.? Or is it just Felda alone?
I think it's Felda and all the stuff that's been happening in FGV, as well as and compounded with the fact that things in rural areas are expensive. We were surprised that food in Pahang could cost as much as it does in the Klang Valley because of maybe transportation costs, because these are, you know, remote communities. So it is mainly about Felda and FGV and how the problems when it comes to their incomes is being stressed by the fact that they have to pay more, you know, each month in order to feed their families.
Where do you go next with this kind of economic reporting, ground-up reporting? What are we going to be? What should we be looking at, Sheridan?
That's a good question. I mean, I really don't know where to start because it seems really big. Youth, I would start with maybe youth unemployment. That is also very big because it's supposedly twice the number of youth unemployment rate is double the unemployment rate in the country.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's also related to our tertiary education system. I mean, there were studies done by Professor Lee Hock Wan who said that, you know, our public universities are not preparing their graduates for the job market. That's one thing I look at. And then also how inflation, you know, because we keep reporting about how, you know, how high inflation is, but then how much does it matter to people on the ground? You know, we've always tried to I mean, and in the Malaysian Insight, we've always tried to go and see how these figures get translated into people's experiences.
Real quick then, with the minute that we have left. So from your visit over there, were the Felda settlers more in favour of Tan Sri Isa or Dato Zakaria? And I'm putting you on the spot here. If you have an answer.
I'll just say this, lah. They're just...
You're not the politician, lah. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. No, but then you see, because the thing about... okay, Zakaria's name didn't come up, but Isa's name came up a lot.
Okay. Yeah, in the positive or negative?
Mostly negative. Mostly negative. Uh-huh. According to the second generation people, it's mostly negative.
Okay, so he is the chairperson of FGV.
Correct.
He's former Menteri Besar, like 22 years, right?
But he's been with Felda for a longer time. Not just FGV, but I think with Felda a longer time. So
what, longer than Zakaria?
Not longer than Zakaria. Just a long time.
You were listening to Sheridan Mahavira. He's a reporter with the Malaysian Insight. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Yeah, this is Gus Pressing Matters. We're coming up to the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, we'll have Enterprise. And BFM continues. Keep listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.